Hello and welcome to the Real Deal Trio podcast, where we dive deep into the world of real estate, business, and personal growth. I'm your host, Yahya Chatani, joined by my esteemed co-hosts, Mohit Badlani and Phil Mariani. Together, we bring you a wealth of knowledge and expertise to help you navigate through the complexities of the real estate market, unlock business success, and cultivate a life of balance and fulfillment. So get ready for insightful conversations, actionable advice, and also a whole bunch of inspiration. So let's dive in.
All right. What is up, everyone?
What's up, guys? What's
back. I know we took a small hiatus, and we usually don't. I guess Yahya got a little too busy too. And the rest of us were just waiting on Yahya. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, the market picked up, man.
We all kind of got tied up.
We got the spring season is in effect. Markets picked up.
You're right. Spring buying season.
And schools. Yeah. Yeah, not only spring buying season, schools are about to come out in the next couple of weeks. So people are preparing to sell their homes. And that's what we're seeing here, too. So before we talk about our topic, how's everyone doing?
Doing fantastic, bro. Doing great. Jacked
doing
up.
Doing good. We had a great time. I guess we talked last. We had a great time in Miami at the Ultra Music Festival. And
We talked about that. Yeah. So our topic of discussion is interest rates. I know this has been like a thorn on everyone's side, this interest rate for the last mortgage interest rates and the other stuff too, but mortgage interest rates, because I mean, we're in that business, you know, we talk shit about that stuff. So and why it's been a thorn on our side for almost a year and a half. So let's talk about that. And there's a quote that everyone's been talking about, and we want to know what your thoughts are. But before we do that, we're going to tell you what our thoughts are about this quote. And the quote is, Phil, go for it.
You know, the old-fashioned slogan, date the rate and marry the house.
Yeah, I don't know, Phil. I'm not really a big fan of that quote, man. Yeah. I think it's...
So tell me how you really feel, Yahya. Tell me how you really feel. Start off with Yahya. From a lender, what are your thoughts?
Your lender's perspective.
What are your thoughts?
So the thing is, I want to know
a lender's perspective on that.
Right. So not just the lender, right? I'll give you both sides of the story. I've heard that quote so many times online. And a lot of people, when it first came out, it was, I think, a couple of months ago, people started saying that. And it sounds catchy, but it was very misleading for the majority of the people. Because what most people don't understand on the lending side, Phil, that you asked about, is that, okay, marry the home and date the rate. Sure. Now you're going to get excited about buying a home. But dating the rate, generally, when you date a rate, it's not as easy as most people might think. Most people cannot refinance in less than a year. And the cost of lending right now is quite high. So if somebody's coming in, I'll give an example.
Dealing with people is difficult too. Dealing with people is difficult too.
No, difficult. That's one thing. But think about the cost it brings, right? If somebody is not financially secure to actually be able to buy, and they get jacked up with this quote, like, yeah, no, I'm going to secure, I'm going to marry the house and date the rate. And if you become mortgage poor and you didn't calculate your finances correctly, now you're in a home, but you can no longer afford it, you might actually be bankrupt. And that's something I've seen people almost hinge on across, and it's very dangerous. Like if all you got is 30 grand cash, you're making X amount of dollars, you've got credit card bills, this and that, your debt to income ratio is really tight, but you love this home, you got to have the home. You bought the home. Okay, what next? You might have an HOA. You might have to be careful of taxes that might go up next year. So you're going to have a payment shock. So, and right now we're issuing letters of payment shock, by the way, to people. So they know that, hey, if your taxes go up by $2,000, your monthly payment's going to go up by a couple of $100, you know, making those things sure. Other than that, cost of living is more expensive. Gas is more expensive. Groceries are more expensive. So when you add all that into account, you might not really be marrying the home. You might really be marrying the sidewalk, you know, at that point, because you're like, hey, if I'm bankrupt, I ain't got no home. What do I do? Plus, what I think the biggest thing that I have a pet peeve with is if you buy the home, move into the home, and now you can no longer afford it, and you miss a payment, that hinders you from being qualified for your next mortgage. Because if you have a late payment within the first 12 months or in the last most recent 12 months, you can't refi and you can't buy a home. So now you're getting screwed out of a chance. So I think in that essence, not understanding what a borrower's true financial capacity is, it puts them in a worse position than not. I think I dimmed the room down a little. It's like, whoa.
Okay. We're kind of processing that for a moment.
Right? No, you're right. So yeah, we are processing that at the moment. It was like trying to understand, and I definitely see your point of view on it. And Phil, the since you brought the quote in, what are your thoughts on this?
So no, I see what Yaya is saying. So I would agree that you have to afford the payment. Okay. So what I'm looking at is obviously we know, let's just talk like generally your real estate appreciates on a normal market, let's say 3 to 5% a year. Would we all agree on that? Now, you know, prior, right, we had crazy growth, right? We were experiencing double digit growth on this, you know, when interest rates were, you know, incredibly low, right? So home value shot up. So generally, what do we see? Every time mortgage rates go down, we see an influx of buyers in the market. Would you guys agree on that? Well, obviously, Mower, you would know, right? We're dealing with, you know, and I'm sure you would see an increase in application, mortgage applications too, right? Yeah, right? Yeah. So obviously, we know rates go down, buyers flood the market, and we know new home starts are down. You know, historically, our inventory has still been low and it's supposed to be low for a while, right? Till we catch up. So obviously, what does that do? So every time rates go down, we have an influx of buyers in the market. They have more buying power. We see more buyers in the market. We see more, you know, we still have the same inventory. You know, we potentially see, more buyers looking at the same property, especially if it's a moving ready home. Now we can see higher multiple offers. And what did that do? That increases to, you know, maybe paying, you know, a little bit over, you know, retail, you know, value for that market value, what have you, like what happened before. So, you know, you can only purchase the home once at one price. So my kind of thoughts are, if you can afford the payment the way it is now, is purchase the home, you know, because I feel values are still going to continue to rise. And, you know, we always say when somebody asks us, when's a great time to buy a home? I always say 5 years ago, because that's true, right? So, or a year ago or 5 years ago, what have you. So with that being said, I feel that if you can afford the home today at today's interest rate, and it's not going to put you in a financial situation, I say buy the house. And obviously when rates go down, whether it's 1 year or 2 years, you know, then when it makes sense, if it makes sense to refinance, you know, to get a cheaper payment, obviously. But you know, I say you can only buy the house once at one price.
And I think, Phil, that part I 100% agree with. I think the oversimplification of the quote is what irritates me. You see, what you said makes total sense. And I 100% agree with you because, cool. If you can buy it today, you can afford the payment today, and it's not going to put you in the risk of financial strain or a missed opportunity. You're not going to miss an opportunity to buy an amazing home that you can right now, as you mentioned, or you're not neglecting other important factors. Sure. Do that. Mm-hmm. But see, when people come online and they post these short videos like, oh, marry the you know, home and take the raid. Like, if the normal consumer doesn't know what they're doing. And it's our responsibility as professionals not just to pose these, you know, catchy phrases, but explain further. So your explanation, 100%, I agree with. And I was drinking coffee while you were doing that. And I thought about this. I want to give a big shout out to our buddies here at The Closing City. Awesome company.
Oh, nice.
Really nice title company.
Very good title company. Yep.
Plug.
Right?
Plug.
They're going to love it. No, but really though, they're awesome people. Really good closing company. Love working with them. Kareem and Anita doing an awesome job, guys. If you ever look for a title company, hit them up. But getting back to what we're saying, I think the point you brought up, Phil, about the 5 years ago part, I think that is gold, man. And I think that is something people don't understand. Real estate is not a short-term gain. It's not buying Bitcoin, man. It's a long-term investment. And, you know, when you look at it, it's like you will say, like, hey, 5 years ago, very well said. Like, if you bought a home 5 years ago, you'll be happy. But most people get stuck in this phase where they're like, oh, if I buy today, should I buy today? But are the prices okay? It's like, dude, prices, rates will continue moving. They're fluid. That has nothing to do with you. What's to do with you is, can you afford it today? Is it a good decision for you to buy today? Because the truth is, look, you need a place to live. You're going to live in a shoebox, or you're going to live in a rental apartment, or where are you going to live? You got a place to live. So if you invest in a home, the truth of the matter is, and I want to be the bad guy about, you know, what I do, but it's not going to cost you less. Your payment for a mortgage in today's market is going to be higher than your rental. And the interest you're going to pay for the first 1-2 years is going to be high. You're not going to build any principal there. because lenders will collect the highest amount of interest in the first couple of years. But after 3, 4, 5 years, that's when the magic happens. That's when, Phil, what you talked about, appreciation, that kicks in full gear. Because 3, 4 years later, typically in today's market with the higher rates, is the break-even point where you start to build equity and you see appreciation. And if you refinance in a year, 2 years, 3 years, that's when you truly see your rate and term will reduce that payment by a large amount, I should say, and you will really reap the benefits of homeownership. So like I said, long-term game, 4 or 5 years, decent time, man. If you're looking for a short-term gain, I don't think it's a smart idea.
Right, right. I mean, I did a video a while back, you know, talking about, hey, you know, if you buy it, the interest rate's high, but it's your primary home, hey, it doesn't matter. But if you can afford the mortgage payment, you know, buy, because you're in it. It's if a primary home, you're in it for the long haul anyway, right? So, you know, most people traditionally was 5 to 7 years stayed in a home. Maybe it's been less over the past couple of years, maybe 3 to 5 years or so. So you're using that time for appreciation. You know, if home values, you know, go up, you know, then you gain appreciation, you know what I'm saying? So I used to say, to tell people, if you try, it just seems like trying to time the market is a losing battle. You never win.
Yep, that's 100%. What do you think, Mo? You've been quiet for a little bit, man.
I agree with both of you. I agree with the quote is corny in the first place.
Great. Right.
It's a very corny quote. I mean, you shouldn't be saying it in the first place. Yeah, you know what I mean? There's so many of these quotes that were going around with these interest rates because, hey, realtors need to sell homes, right? We need to sell homes, guys, because we're going to come up with these funny, fancy quotes because we always think it's the best time to buy. You ask a realtor, if I ask Phil tomorrow, when's the best time to buy? He's going to say, yeah, it was 5 years ago, but he's going to say, buy it now, because 5 years from now,
you're going to
reap the benefits. You're going to reap the benefits, right? Mm-hmm. Now, which with Phil makes sense. Now, interest rates, for that matter, I always tell my clients, look, it's another type of quote like Phil's is, but it's, I guess, it's more personable, I guess. I always say, hey, you know, you don't want to be, you know, house rich and live poor, right? Which means basically you can have a big fancy house with a badass payment or a high ass payment, and you're going to be eating ramen noodles every day. You can't go on vacations. Why? Because you decided that, you know what? I'm just going to rack up all this debt. It happens when you get into a new house. You want to buy furniture. You want to get all these nice, fancy things. You go into debt after that. Then you owe more money. Then you're paying 22 to 23 to 25 to 30% interest on those credit cards. And on top of that, you're paying another 7% on your mortgage. And that's when you go into foreclosure. But like Phil said, if you can afford it, if you can afford the payments, and just like you said, if you can afford the payments at the 7% rate, and then, you know, a couple years down the road, you see, hey, interest rates are starting to be where you want them to be. So you can save maybe another $200-$300 a month. You're going to refi. And not only are you going to refi, you're going to say, hey, how much equity do I really have in this house? Let's do a cash out refi instead. You know, let's pay off these bills, or let me go buy a new car. You don't want to buy anything depreciating at that with that money.
Yeah.
But that's, you know what I mean? People can spend it on whatever they want to spend it on, but it's the money that you gain from your house. That's it.
Right. So for another example, I just had a client that purchased a new construction home, and he had the ability to pay for it in cash. Obviously, he didn't want to pay the high interest rates. He paid it in cash. So what did he do? He closed on the house. A few weeks later, now he's doing a cash out refi for a lot less of a rate, and now he's going to take that money and invest it back into the market. Absolutely. To make him money.
And so, man, you brought up something really, really dope here. So this is a strategy used by a lot of big investors, and this is something that people don't understand. Wealthy people do not use their cash money. They use other people's money, and that's the difference I've seen.
What is it? Never use your own capital.
Never your own capital. And
use somebody else's capital.
The big investors, the ones that are really doing well, when you see experienced investors, they don't think, they buy because they know how much they want. They make money on 11% interest if they need to. They'll do it because they know some things that a lot of people don't know. You can deduct interest rates in your taxes. People don't think about that. It's like, yeah, I'm going to make this here. But if you, if you're making a W-2 income of 300 grand and you are like, oh man, by the way, did you guys see what Biden just did with the long-term capital gains tax that just came out? He's proposing a 40% long-term capital gain tax. So in this case, I'll use this example. If you're W-2 and you make $1 million or more, mm-hmm. you're going to pay long-term capital gains tax of 40%. So how do you reduce that? If you acquire assets, you depreciate them, you use interest rate deductions that you have, you pay less in taxes. So you keep that. Yeah, it costs you a little bit more here, but on the back end, if you analyze the details, even if it breaks you even, you got an asset that's going to grow in value. It's better than just paying 40% in tax. So that's the thing a lot of investors that we see that are experienced, that have portfolios of 20, 30, 40 units, 50 units, 100 units, they don't even talk. They're like, all right, I want to do this. Okay, here, boom, done. They'll pay cash. Just like Phil said, New York, man. Look at New York, bro. Right. You know how many
Italians,
they don't care. They don't care if capital gains goes up to 80. They don't, and those folks, they don't care if capital gains goes to 80%, 90%. They don't give a shit because they're not using that money.
So I was talking to a buddy of mine in New York, Mo, and he said a lot of his investors, they come in, there's empty apartment buildings worth millions of dollars in New York that are empty. Bought cash,
yeah,
and then refied, take the money, invest it somewhere else.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's episode for today. That's a welcome back episode.
That's a welcome back. I think that was that's a nice and short and fast. And
a week of high energy.
Kick some butt episode.
And high energy. Love it.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a topic lately. I know interest rates has been for a while, but I think a lot of people already have expected the Feds to drop the rate by this time, and they haven't. So I still feel there's a lot of buyers on the fence, you know, because the rates haven't come down yet. So
Phil, I'll let you know the secret. In our next episode, I'll tell you more about why that's happening, because we'll talk a little bit about the economy. So stay tuned, folks.
That's a great follow.
It's a way to end it.
That's a great segue for our next week's episode.
Yeah.
All right, folks. You guys have a good one, and we'll be back.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us today on the Real Deal Trio podcast, where we dive deep into the exciting worlds of real estate, business, and mastering that sweet life balance. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. Your feedback helps us continue delivering content that matters to you. Stay pumped for our upcoming episodes, jam-packed with expert insight, game-changing strategies, and Florida real estate. For more exclusive contents and behind-the-scenes action, follow us on Facebook, search for the Real Deal Trio group page, and for Instagram, at the Real Deal Trio Pod. And for YouTube, search for the Real Deal Trio Podcast. We will have all these links to our social media account and some more in the description. We would love to be your go-to experts for all your real estate needs in Florida. Shoot us an email, realdealtrio@gmail.com. Until next time, keep balancing the hustle, the deals, and the moments that make life truly extraordinary. This is the Real Deal Trio Podcast, signing off.